It's summertime, and the living is easy. Well, is it? I've been very aware of all the stress that people are feeling. It's like you can't get away from it. There's intense competition out there, and it's the competition for your attention. Everywhere you go, almost every moment, something or somebody is trying to get your attention. Even if you somehow escape it for just a few moments, you feel agitated and like, I've got to do something. I've got to fill that space with some noise or words or activity or worries, all the things that are so always in our lives. And that's not an easy feeling to me. The first time I went to Point Pelee Park in Ontario was in the middle of the winter. I was in high school, and I was with a couple of high school biology teachers. We were there to prep for a naturalist club trip that was going to happen in the spring. We were there in the dead of winter, right after a lot of heavy snowfall. So we go to the park administrator's office, and he says, well, I'll take you down to the end of the park, but on the way, I'm going to plow the snow. So we got into this big truck. He dropped the blade, and he plowed the snow for a couple of miles to the end of the path. It was so loud. We couldn't hear each other talk. I'd never been in a snow plow before. When we got to the end, I said, how do you cope with all this noise all the time? Doesn't it just get to you? And he said, actually, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. I'm happy to be in the snowplow, out enjoying the beauty of this park, without phones, without paperwork, and without any other distractions, and I find it very soothing. That was one of my first introductions to what we call silence. There's a lot of noise going on, don't mistake that, but in this man's heart and mind, there is a sense of stillness. We're in a series dealing with spiritual disciplines. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about that word discipline. The clicker is not crazy with me either. Aha. I think spiritual discipline's a little harsh for me. So what about spiritual exercise? That's a little better, especially if you like to work out. Spiritual exercise, you get that. Goes back to Ignatius of Loyola in the 1500s. He wrote a book called Spiritual Exercises. I have it. I've read it. It's worth checking out. Maybe spiritual technology is a better way for you to feel up to date with it. Doesn't do anything for me. Maybe it's spiritual nutrition. I like that. You're feeding yourself, making yourself healthier. Spiritual practice. I think of a lawyer with a practice, or a doctor with a practice, or gurus out someplace practicing. I'd like to go with the phrase spiritual practices. That seems to be the thing I kind of groove on the most, so we're going to ride that for a little bit. Spiritual practices are not an obligation, a ritual that you have to check off of a list. If you think it is, you've missed the point of what they are. As our Creator, God has hardwired us to benefit from these spiritual practices. They benefit us. And once you get in the habit of it, they feel good. We start to see those benefits. Spiritual practices guide us to the things that we all say we want. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual practices are a way to guide the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds. So they're worth doing. Ask you a question. How much silence do you have in your life, if any? Probably not a lot. Silence, when you get a little bit of it, you feel like you need to make it go away. Something's wrong. It doesn't feel right. Flip channels, text, chatter, do something. It's almost as if you're allergic to a little bit of silence. You feel like you have to react. After all, what good is silence? It doesn't seem to be valued in our culture. On TV, if you're watching scenes, they change about every 3 to 5 seconds. I can't keep up. And the noise, the Grinch said the noise, noise, noise. It starts to disturb me after a while. There's a Jamaican spiritual teacher by the name of Muji. And he says that you have to find the quiet inside you to find the quiet to dispel the noise outside you. Silence is a time to cultivate awareness. It's a time to heal. We get bruised during the day. Sometimes it's a bad day at work. Sometimes a relationship goes a little sideways. Maybe your health is bothering you. You get bruised. What do you do with that? At the end of the day, is there anything you can do to take care of yourself? Your energy reserve is just about on empty. Spiritual practices serve as recovery time. It allows God to come into you and restore you and flush out the toxins that have built up during daily life. Does God expect us to be silent? If so, we're letting Him down. We're just not very good at that. Think of it like this. If someone gives you a gift, what do? You receive it. If it's wrapped, you unwrap it, and particularly if it's something you like, you say, I love this, or this is just what I wanted, or how thoughtful of you. That's what we do with gifts. Think of God's gift to us as spiritual practices. They are built-in things that we can do to encourage God to live within us and be aware of God. You have to put away the idea that God is up there. God is not up there. God is right here, right now. We don't have to wait. We can experience the flow of God's Spirit right at this moment. We receive God's gift of presence through practices like the gift of silence. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, John of Patmos wrote about some visions he had. Starting in chapter 4, he tried to explain the wonderful things that he was seeing. He could hardly find the words for it. It says that he was ushered into heaven in this vision, and he described what was going on. There were vivid colors. There were choirs of angels singing all the time. There were millions. The Bible says millions of angels all around. There was lightning and thunder. There was earthquakes and there were horses. There was a red one and a white one and a green one and a black one. And all this stuff going on. And it was loud. It was intense. And suddenly it stopped. And the scripture says, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for half an hour. Think of the loudest sporting event you've been to, or the loudest concert, and then multiply that many times. You start to get a feel for what it was like before the silence in heaven. And as John was witnessing all this grandeur, it suddenly stopped. All of heaven went quiet. Even in heaven, silence is practiced. and because it's valuable. There are two types of silence in spiritual practice. First one is quiet, and it means just being quiet. Sitting, not interacting, not saying anything, just being quiet. The other is stillness. And this is the part where you can be in the midst of a lot of activity and still have a sense of stillness within you. Now, we look to Jesus as our model. Jesus practiced silence. The Gospels go out of their way to show that he did this. Think of the situation he was in. When he began his public ministry, there were crowds churning after him all the time. There were people who had demons who were brought to him to be healed. There were sick people and disabled people who came to him for wholeness and restoration. There were the curiosity seekers, the rubberneckers who wanted to go see a spectacle. There were the authorities who were constantly after him and threatening him and pushing the boundaries. How did Jesus avoid having a total mental collapse with all of that? One of the ways he did it is he got out of the situation. It says there in Luke, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. This is cited several times in the gospel, so it's worth paying attention to. This was a habit that Jesus had. It did something for him that he really needed. And if Jesus saw the need to practice silence, it's probably a good idea for us to do as well. And after a night of prayer and quiet and stillness, he went right back to the crowds and all the tumult. And the only thing that stopped his public ministry once it started was his execution on the cross. Something worked for Jesus in the spiritual practice of silence. Talk just a minute about quiet. Quiet is so hard for us to do, fidgeting, if nothing else. Here's how you can see if you have any quietness. When you get home, put your phone on silent and put it in a drawer for 5 minutes. That's all. Don't do anything for that 5 minutes. Well, you can watch the clock because it will seem like a long time. It will seem really weird, and you may even feel distressed about it. It's like I feel this compulsion to interact and see what's going on. It's weird, but it's important, and it shows how far away we are from the spiritual practice of cultivating God's Spirit. This tiny investment of time, it will help recreate you. And that's such a good feeling. Quiet also reboots you. Your phones or your computers, if they're acting up, going slow, what do? You can restart it, reboot it, and sometimes that fixes whatever was going on. If you download new software, very often you have to restart the computer, reboot. It's just a thing that you know you have to do. There is a phenomenon that psychologists have researched, and they call the monkey mind. And it's just what it sounds like. It's our brains acting like a monkey. Imagine monkeys in a jungle or a zoo, a monkey swinging from limb to limb to limb to limb. Now multiply that times a whole group of monkeys, and you have a picture of your brain during the day. Monkey mind. So many things enter in. We have a new impulse about every 2 to 3 seconds, according to neuropsychologists. And it's exhausting. We're not productive. It makes us so irritable. It makes us angry at the slightest little thing. Well, these neuropsychologists have also found that there's a cure for it, and it's so simple you won't believe it. It's called the brain reboot. You have the monkey mind, all the things going on, limb to limb, swinging. If you stop and take a break for 60 seconds and just focus on your breathing, a thought comes in, you just acknowledge it like a cloud going by, then you go back to your breathing. Slow, deep, deliberate breaths. If you do that for 60 seconds, it resets your brain in a neuropsychology kind of way. It resets your central nervous system. They do research on this stuff. I'm not making it up. What a simple way to cultivate awareness. 60 seconds. Not very long. And if you go more than that, so much the better. Quiet also renews us. Your ability to live in the moment and really listen is increased when you reboot, when you cultivate quiet for a little bit. There are people, probably not in your life, but I run into them sometimes, who want to emotionally hijack you. They are people who come out of the woodwork and they're at you, kind of like Jesus was facing. They irritate me sometimes, and I don't even know why. They want to gossip. They want to just make life uncomfortable. You know these people. And you try to avoid them because I feel anxious when I'm around those people. There aren't many, but there are a few. And afterwards, I feel depleted, emotionally hijacked. What can I do about it? Well, as you practice these spiritual practices, including silence, you'll start to form an emotional shield around you. And you'll start to listen and be a little more aware, and you won't let it feel like an attack, because it really isn't. You'll start to live in the moment and understand the interaction a lot better. Scripture most of you have probably heard, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Be still. Know I am God. Even just saying it has a soothing effect. Stillness. Can you go to Cedar Point and experience stillness? You can, I know, I've done it. Cedar Point, you have all the roller coasters going by right overhead sometimes. You have cotton candy over here. Oh, and a corn dog over here. And look at the kids go by. And why aren't their parents with them? And, a gift shop. And, oh, let's get in line for this ride. And what time is it? And all that commotion. It's like Cedar Point is Chuck E. Cheese for grown-ups. So much going on. But I know some of the times I've been there, I've paused and I've stopped just for a little bit, 30, 60 seconds. And it helped me recenter who I was, where I was, and what was going on, rather than just reacting to everything. I could respond instead, and that helped me a lot. Stillness calms us. There's a soothing effect about it. We call it mindfulness in popular culture today. Ordinary moments is usually where you find mindfulness. And they're surprisingly common. Over 20 years ago, I was on my way to Saginaw for a business meeting. Went up I-75, and no shock, in the summer, there was traffic. A lot of it. It was going really, really slow. And then the traffic stopped. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be late. I hate to be late. I can just feel the anxiety churning. Before cell phones, that's how long ago it was. What am I going to do? I can't get up. And you know the feeling. 15 minutes. I had the window rolled down. The car was turned off. You just didn't know how long it was going to go. And as I sat there, I started to feel the sunshine coming through the windows. And it started to feel kind of good. And I looked out over the distance, and there were trees, and they were dancing in the wind and swaying. And I thought, that's really pretty. Then, about 10 feet to the side of my car, there is one of those pink thistle bushes, or plants. And an American goldfinch came and perched right on top of it, a little black and yellow, some people call them canaries, and started eating the thistle. It'd take one little bite, chew it, look around, take another bite, chew it. This bird was totally oblivious to all the stress that was happening only a few feet away. And as I watched that little bird work on that thistle plant, I forgot about everything. And I started to feel this sense of calm. I'm not sure how much longer we sat on the highway, but I wasn't upset anymore. I had allowed stillness to quiet me. Stillness also conditions you. They say it takes 21 days to make a new habit. I think it takes longer. If you start practicing it, it's going to take a while. You're not going to be really good at it to begin with, but stay with it. We're too quick to kick things to the curb looking for a quick fix. You've got to stay with it just a little bit and see what God might be able to do with you. Observant Muslims turn toward Mecca and pray 5 times a day at a certain time every day. Imagine if you took 30 seconds 5 times a day and just stopped. Just stopped everything, got quiet and still any time of day. If you try that, let me know how it goes. I think you'll be impressed with what happens. Jesus had a hard life. He knew that our lives could be hard as well. And so hours before he was crucified, he was teaching his disciples about spiritual practices. And it says here in John, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift, there's that word again, the world cannot give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be all cranked up. There's a solution, peace. It doesn't have to be in a place where there is no noise and no activity. It can be right in the midst of all those things. That's part of Jesus' promise and why the Holy Spirit came in to the world. Spiritual practice of silence, stillness, quiet, it's a path. It's a path that leads to peace within us. And that's worth more than money. When you stop to think how wound up you get during a day, and a little bit of peace, contrast it, you know how much you need it. And in the inside you, within you, you have that resource. God has made you to be responsive to that. And then peace in the midst of everything that's going on. When everything screams at you for attention, you have an alternative. The spiritual practice of withdrawing like Jesus did, just for a little bit. The brain reboot. Get rid of those monkeys that are filling your heads. And stop and be still. To know that I am God. Now, as I wrap up, I want to give you a quick tutorial on how to do it. And so I'm asking you to Do this with me. Just take a couple of moments. First of all, let's just breathe deeply. All right? So just get in a comfortable position. Close your eyes if you don't mind. You don't have to. And just breathe. I'll coach you through that. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's peace. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out God's peace. In. Out. Now, did that feel weird, strange? Did it feel good? Is it, you think it's something you can try? I'd like you to work on it and tell me what your experience is. I'm really interested to know how this works for you. A second thing that I find is helpful is to attach this practice to something physical. You can use what is often called a worry stone. I call it a prayer stone. It has a little groove or dent in it, and you just hold it. You can rub it if you want to, but I like to just hold it. There's something about having that little physical reminder that reminds me to breathe. And even when I'm driving, I hold this, which I call my little prayer egg. It's a little lapis egg we got somewhere in Rochester. And I can hold it as I'm steering the car, and it draws me back to my breath. Maybe you have something like that. If that is what anchors you, it's a good thing to do. A third thing you can try is sit. Just sit. Don't do anything. Just shut down for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Put your phone away. Lock yourself in the bathroom if you have to. I knew a woman who had so many kids running around, she had to go in the bathroom to find a little quiet space. Okay, worked for her. And number four, fill your tank with something that is special to you. When I'm in nature and I see those trees and those birds and the skies, when I see the sparkle of the water and I walk along the beach, I'm in church. That is God's cathedral to me. That energizes me, and I need to do it regularly. Yours might be music. It might be yoga. It might be something else. And that's good. The Holy Spirit is not limited to some formula or some preconceived doctrine that somebody tells you about. Most people struggle with the practice of silence. I know I do. I always have, but I've always tried to stay with it. I also know that when I accept the gift of God's silence and quiet and stillness, allow it to find a place in my life, I'm better for it. My life is better and better for all those around. God, here, right now. Let's pray and invite God into this moment. Spirit of God, you are here among us. Your flow is going through us, around us, swirling about. We pray that through spiritual practices like silence, we can tap into that flow. We can appreciate that you are God. And by being still, we can know it and feel it. Thank you for the precious lives in this room at this moment. Every one of them is someone that you love and find precious in your sight. May your blessing be upon them as they seek to be more faithful and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.